It's a pleasure to welcome you all today to the first in the series of lecture workshops that we're holding here in Rancho Santa Fe. The subject under discussion today will be the law of interdependence in the Word. But in order to view that law correctly, in order to see the full value of that law, we have to view it within the context of the whole. As you know, anything that is viewed out of context is inadvertently misunderstood. So, in order to view that law correctly, I'm going to take some time to set the scene, as it were, by viewing the entire picture of being through a symbol system that we have come to accept as the clearest interpretation of that being that we have been able to understand to date. Everything that we do in life revolves around symbols. And so today, as we view the infinite, we obviously must view it through symbols. The symbol of speech that we're using, and even the words specifically that we choose to use, are just approximations to the inner truth that exists in being. We all know this, but it's good to reemphasize it, knowing that the words that we choose are just the closest approximations to being that we can find at the moment. The symbols that we've chosen with which to view the entirety of being are, in our code terms, the seven, the four, and the four. Those stand for the numerals of infinity, or the seven synonymous terms as they were set out in Science and Health by Mrs. Eddy. Those terms are root notions. They were terms that she reduced or deduced from her insights into the qualities of being. They didn't come instantaneously to her. They came slowly through the process of revelation that you and I are going to look at today. But through that slow, gradual process, these seven master terms did unfold. She felt that the best way to understand being was through its qualities, and they revealed themselves to her as mind. That the infinite was intelligent, that it knew what it was. As spirit, that it was substantial, that it was not a material being, but an inner spiritual being. Through soul, that it had definite identity and definite quality. Through principle, that infinite being was indeed a principle and not a person, that it had structure and system, and that truly it could interpret itself to itself, and therefore to her, and therefore to us. That infinite being truly was life, that it was always renewing and revitalizing and resuscitating its own being, that it wasn't caught up in a belief of time, that that was just our slow-motion view of that being. That that being was truth, that nothing about it lacked consciousness, that nothing about it was erroneous or partial or distorted, that it was absolute, correct truth. And most of all, really, that that infinite being was love, that it was a full, integrated, all-inclusive being, where no facet of its own nature was left out or could be left out. That that being was, in a sense, holographic. That every facet was included within the whole and unified within the whole. She further brought forth the fact that that being didn't just have infinite qualities, but that it operated, that it was what it was, intrinsically and subjectively within itself, that it had the capability of translating to the objective, that it had the capability of knowing its ideals so well within itself that it could bring forth that ideal as an object within its own understanding. And that all of this was going on within a self-contained system, a cybernetic circuit that existed within being itself. She also could feel and see that being at least appeared to be dimensional, that it was what it was, but that it also had dimensions within its own being. And certainly, to the human mind, that one had to seek that being through making shifts in dimension within itself, therefore within oneself. So in Science and Health, she brought out what we have come to know and love as the 15 root notions. Those are our high symbols and the symbols through which we view being in order to understand that being. We know, however, that that being is not outside of ourselves. Therefore, these are also symbols that we can utilize to understand our own true being. Therefore, as we sit here today, the activity is really a very practical activity because it's our own viewpoints, our own being that we're really dealing with. Yes, we want to find out about the infinite and what it is, but really, if we're honest, we want to find our place within that. We want to find how we connect with that. We want to find who we really are and how we really operate and how we truly fit in with the scheme of the infinite plan. Otherwise, this is just an intellectual study. But really, it mustn't be. It must be something that touches home. It must be something that we're looking at that is not outside of ourselves, but is really deep within the core of our own infinite being, and that it's really our own being that we're trying to discover, the reality of that being. So as we look at the symbols, please don't lose sight of the fact that those symbols are symbols of your own consciousness, that they're symbols of your own being, that you're not looking outside of yourself for an answer, not even to the infinite, but that that truly is my infinity, that truly is my own being. The first chart that has been provided in your little packet is an overview of the symbols that we've just spoken of, but put in a structured view. The chart was originally designed by John Dorley and has been used throughout the years by his students. I have added the names of the laws that were discovered and elucidated by Max Kepler, because we will relate to those positions and those laws. The chart dimensionally starts or appears in four levels, denoted as the science level, the divine science level, the absolute Christian science level, and the Christian science level. Most of you are familiar with those levels, but not all of you. So for those who are listening and going to be listening who are not familiar, and also for us to be able to get a wonderful overview, I'm going to give just a summary of those levels and the position that those levels have in being, so we can always follow where we are when we're focusing on a facet of being. When I think of the level of science, I think of the infinite as it is, just being as it is, the one infinite being itself. It's implied that that being includes everything within itself. But as we start to focus on what that being does include within itself, as we start to focus on how that being organizes that which it is within itself, that is the dimension of divine science. But truly, they're not separate. You're just getting a more detailed view of the one. So as we focus in, then it's almost like you have a wonderful magnifying glass or a wonderful system where you can just keep magnifying and magnifying and magnifying being, so you see more and more and more detail in being. And that's all that this chart really stands for. So we'll start then with being itself, the infinite one, which is the level of science, and then as we zero in to the way that being organizes itself, the divine circuit through which that being operates, that simply is called the level of divine science. On that level, there just is the one being, but you're really taking in the oneness of that being, because you're including everything that is involved in that being, and what it is, and how it operates, and how it organizes itself, and how it contains itself within itself, and how that principle is love, how that principle really is embraced in an incredible divine circuit. It's just embraced in a divine whole, and nothing ever gets out. It's all included. You just feel such an incredible all-inclusiveness there that nothing can get lost. Nothing can disappear. And even as it translates to what we call the level of absolute Christian science, it's just a case of, again, empowering the microscope so that we can see greater and greater detail of what's happening in being. And as it translates it to itself, to what we call the level of absolute Christian science, it's really just its ability to focus in on the specifics of its own being and to objectify those specifics, to bring them into expression. So on the level of what we call absolute Christian science, we say that that's the level where principle is relating to its idea. But really, it's just that infinite principle being able to focus very clearly on every single aspect of its own being and to operate every aspect of that being. So what has been considered a divine circuit on the level of divine science is now seen as a cybernetic circuit, on the level of Absolute Christian Science, where there's kind of an input process, output feedback system, where it's an preventative, error preventative system. There just is no error that can ever get in that system because it has a wonderful built-in ability for maintaining itself, for keeping everything that it is intact. And it's wonderful because you get this incredible trust in being that it is what it is. And even as it starts to express itself, as it starts to translate itself into objectification, it doesn't lose an ounce of what it is. It doesn't lose any of its qualities. It doesn't lose any of its power. It doesn't lose any of its operative ability. It loses nothing. It doesn't distort itself. It doesn't have a time sense within it that can give us the feeling that it's distorting itself and therefore come out with a false picture. It just, its mission in there is just to bring into expression all that it is. And that includes what I am. So it's really bringing into expression all that I am. I don't know how many of you are familiar with the New Age science term, the holograph. I don't know that I even wish to go into a very lengthy explanation of it here because we divert off the point for a long time. But if you are not familiar, it's a wonderful symbol that really came out because of the laser photography, but it's a symbol that the sciences now have picked up to connotate that whatever is happening in one facet of the whole is truly happening in every facet of the whole. That one facet cannot be functioning or operating without it being reflected and picked up in every other facet of the whole. That in the photography, for example, you see an entire three-dimensional picture, and yet if you were to take an apple out of that picture, the apple would still reappear in the picture. It's not possible to take an element out of the whole. It just instantaneously reappears there because every facet of that whole has the programming of the whole. So it would reflect the specific facet that appears to be taken out. It would just reflect it right back again, and there it would appear. So you can see on the level of Absolute Christian Science, it's just a gigantic, magnificent holograph at work where every facet of the whole is continually reflecting every other facet of the whole, where the central programming is programmed also in every facet. It's just like every cell in the body really has the program of the whole. So we are a holographic unit, even in disguise in the physical. So I think of the level of Absolute Christian Science as not only being a wonderful cybernetic circuit at work, but really that circuit is at work within a magnificent holograph where every facet is reflecting the activity and the quality of every other facet. Therefore, you can see why it's an error-preventing system, because even though it's operating, even though it's expressing itself, there's no way for anything to be tossed out or to get lost, because everything in there is continually feeding back the wholeness in the reflection. The level of Christian Science isn't even really another dimension within being. The level of Christian Science is only a different viewpoint on the level of Absolute Christian Science. It's the viewpoint that the human has of being, of the chart. It's more an ascending viewpoint. But the level of Absolute Christian Science and the level of Christian Science are really one level. As you notice on this chart, there are two lines drawn in between the science level and the divine science level, and two lines again drawn in between divine science and Absolute Christian Science. But it's no accident here that there's only one line drawn between the level of absolute Christian science and Christian science, because they're really only the absolute and relative of the same level, the same operation, the same understanding. It's just two different viewpoints. The level of Christian science is the way in which being translates itself to the human. It's the way in which it meets the human need. So when we address today the word order specifically, the word vertical, I should say, specifically, and when we zero in on the law of interdependence, which comes at the specific point of absolute and Christian science as they connect in the Word, we'll see that they're really not two different things, and we'll see why they're interdependent and why they relate, because they're just two different views of the exact same operation. One is an absolute timeless view, and the other a more linear, more developing view of being. And it isn't that there really is a time sense that's going on in being. The relative view, the time view, the gradual unfolding view is really the way in which the human appears to be enlightened by the infinite. It's the way in which the human apprehends the infinite, simply because it doesn't recognize itself yet to be divine, that it isn't really human, that it is divine. Therefore, it doesn't have to have that time sense within it, but it does appear to human thought that ideas come in sequence and that they don't just appear all at once. But certainly for those of you who have been praying and working and flowing with these symbols for what appears to be like a long time, the experience of instantaneous revelation is not a new one. And we'll find out why today, and exactly what it is that makes it appear in a slow, linear way, and what it, and where we are sitting in consciousness when it appears, you know, just instantaneously, just the light dawns and we're absolutely there. So before we really zero in to that place value, I wanted to be sure that we had a wonderful understanding of where the law of interdependence in the Word comes within the context of the whole. In order to do that more fully, I'm going to go over very briefly with you the mission of the orders, the mission of the verticals in being, that which Mrs. Eddy termed the Word, the Christ, Christianity, and science, because they all represent different facets of the function of being. And in order for us to see where we're going to focus today correctly, we have to see how that fits into the other functions. The Word represents, I feel, being itself, the subjective, infinite being itself, what it is comprised of, the fact that it is what it is, and the fact that within that being there is a resounding chord always being struck that sounds the tone of what that being is. It is forever within itself declaring that which it is. It is forever hearing within its own being what it is. That life sense that is the synonymous term that heads that vertical really gives one the impression of being itself, and the renewing, resuscitating, revitalizing quality that just allows that being to be what it is. And that, of course, is seen differently on the different dimensions, on the different levels. That being which is that what it is declaring that which it is, in that order, and it is simultaneously, as seen from another dimension, bringing forth from within itself what it is. Seen from the level of absolute Christian Science, is just bringing forth. It is an impelling forth. You just feel this surge from within that being to express its qualities. And obviously on the Christian Science level, then you get the elucidation of that which it is bringing forth those qualities. In the Christ vertical, you have this wonderful sense of being where you get the full operation of being. It's the full self-expression of being. It is that place, that function within being, where it enables the subjective being to transform itself, to translate itself into the objective. And how does it do that except within the context of truth, within its own consciousness? It's only that it is so totally self-conscious of its own being. It's only that it has, on the absolute level, the capability of zeroing in on every calculus, on every aspect, on every function of its own being. It's only that it can, on the Christian Science level, manifest that being, bring that idea, the specific idea, totally forth, but on the whole, just bring itself into expression. That's why we call it the self-expression of being, but it's really that it's a function. It's really that being's capability of transforming itself from subjective to objective. It's that place in being that is operative, that is able to be so conscious of its own being that it can express itself. And Christianity simply is the vertical, the order in being that stands for the fact that being can objectify itself, that it is objectifying itself. And that being always contains its object. Nothing of that object ever is lost within that being. That as that subjective being transforms itself to the objective being, it is still one being. It's just another function of that being. It's the fulfillment of that very being. It's the fact that it must express itself within itself. And that, of course, is seen on the absolute level as that being always feeding forth its idea, everything that it is, and preserving within that idea everything that it is. And on the Christian Science level, it has that wonderful capability, that holographic capability of the fact that every facet of that idea is forever providing itself with and claiming and preserving that own nature for itself. That objective being is its nature, and it's preserved within itself. Being preserves it, and it preserves it. The center of the holograph is forever preserving the circumference, and the circumference is preserving the center. That it is forever a self-contained being where the object is not lost.